You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The new International Trade Crossing Bridge has taken a big step closer to becoming reality. That's after the U.S. State Department approved the project to create a second span across the Detroit River from Detroit to Windsor. Now, there's a group watching the progress of this project very, very closely. That would be the neighbors, business owners, and civic leaders in the Delray District. That's where the bridge would be planted. That's where traffic would flow, trucks would rumble, and life will change. The question is, will the bridge mean good things to the Southwest Detroit neighborhood and its residents, or will their quality of life be sacrificed for the economic benefits to Michigan, or can the two coexist, a win-win for Delray and the state of Michigan? Joining me in the studio is Simone Sugovac. She's with the Southwest Detroit Community Benefits Coalition. Thank you so much for being here, Simone.
Thank you.
For people listening to us who are not familiar with Delray, give us a sense of what the neighborhood is like, the history, and who's there now.
Delray, for many years, was sort of an immigration point historically. It was a Hungarian community and a long time ago, and always very mixed ethnically. And so over the years, it was a place where people came, moved there because they worked there. And over time, as industry changed, as the economy changed, there's been a lot of decline. And however, it's a place that has deep roots. A lot of the families stem back generations who live there. Delray is a community along the riverfront. We're situated in southwest Detroit, which already hosts our current border crossing and numerous heavy industries, all which have an accumulated impact on quality of life and health in the community, unlike other places in Michigan and really even in the country. It has that significant of impacts.
Because of being right there on the river and so close to industry, people in Delray are used to living with really a lot of demands in terms of industry. And as you say, there already is the Ambassador Bridge. So it's not something alien to people in Delray as far as coping with demands.
True. And the kind of industry has changed, too, over time from things like soap factory. We also host currently and have for many years the state's waste or the Southeast Michigan Detroit Water and Sewage Plant, the wastewater treatment plant, which serves a third of Michigan's population. So it's a pretty vast operation. And all of the impacts of these industries, people don't think about it, but the fact that we've got coal-fired power plants here, steel mills here. Not too far away, we have the Marathon Oil Refinery and the state's largest rail yard. And all of these things together do have these combined effects. And, you know, that leads to things like one of the highest asthma rates in the state. We have 1 in 5 children in southwest Detroit who have asthma. We have, in the zip code that includes the current border crossing, we have adults who have asthma hospitalization rates that are 3 times the rate for the state. And so we saw a spike, for example, when the Gateway project was underway that realigned the highways to the current bridge. We saw, as trucks were rerouted and on our surface streets, many people, adults in their 30s and 40s, were getting asthma for the first time. And so even though that's considered to be often a childhood disease, something where maybe there's lung function issues when children are born, you can see that it's a lung function issue throughout life where maybe our health is compromised from the kind of environmental impacts that we have, like the diesel pollution from the trucks at our border.
So is it safe to say air quality is one of the major concerns of as you look at the prospect of a second bridge?
Absolutely it is. There was an environmental study done on the project as required. A final environmental impact study was done. And the conclusion in that project was that air quality will improve. And that statement was made for what will happen in the broader region. The argument is you have 2 bridges, traffic flows better, less congestion, less pollution. However, it's absolutely not true in the immediate community where a 160-acre customs plaza is going to be built. And by the report's own predictions, truck traffic will increase 128%. So our current level of 8,000 trucks per day, 10,000 at the high before the economic recession. Mm-hmm. If it doubles, more than doubles, we're looking at more than 20,000 trucks per day coming through a small community, and people whose homes are directly across the street from the footprint of this project will not be bought out, just as an example. So that large impact.
Homes will not be bought out.
The homes in the footprint of where the actual infrastructure will be built will be purchased.
Yes.
And that will be according to the HUD, you know, regulations and guidelines for the Relocation Act. And however, they're not allowed to go outside of that footprint, which is gets to the point of our coalition. And one of the strategies has been to pursue something called a community benefits agreement, which expands upon the guarantees, the minimal guarantees that will be provided through this the federal process.
And how are you trying to affect that? When you talk about these community benefits, from whom? Canada and United States, state of Michigan? Who are you appealing to?
The community has always said, from the decision makers on the project, from those other entities who will benefit from the project. And so that's pretty broad. Mm-hmm. But as we have been on this journey for more than 5 years, the community has been on it for nearly 10 years when the discussions of a second bridge first came up and the studies and the community engagement with MDOT. But for the past 5 years, the coalition has been working to influence those who are making decisions by educating about what the true impacts are going to be. And also, when the project first came up, communities up and down river, there were several possible locations for the project. And all of them were looked into to various degrees. And communities up and down river came out and said, no, we don't want a bridge. And the community of Del Rey said the same thing. And the issue is that the bridge has to be built along the narrowest part of the river.
Okay.
And at least cost-wise, it was going to end up in the narrowest part of the river. And so over time, it became apparent, and with this struggling community, that maybe there could be a win-win situation here. If the bridge were built in a way where the development could benefit the community as well as the industry who will benefit, and the economies of both Michigan, the United States, and Canada, $40 billion in trade passes over that bridge, which benefits both economies. The bridge investment on the U.S. side is approximately $2 billion.
Uh-huh.
And with all that, with the major users of the bridge being the auto companies, there's a lot of recognition that this is an economic necessity and a huge benefit to the economies. And so we're saying it could be a benefit to the people who are going to sacrifice the most from the project.
If
there are the guarantees for community benefits. And so this, our approach has been to, as I said, educate. We found ourselves having to approach the legislature when it was being discussed by the Michigan legislature and there were bills introduced for the bridge. And we were successful to get a bill passed through the House of Representatives. It didn't pass through the Senate. When I say we, it was the broader community just engaged in the process and really trying to tour people around the area, have people see who are going to be making decisions on this bridge, where the project will actually be. Because we have always felt that the bridge should be built as if it were in anybody's community. Anyone, if you're a decision maker on the project, should think, what if you were building this bridge in your community?
Yes, what would you want?
Exactly.
Had you been able to get Governor Snyder's ear? Have you been able to meet with him? All right. Well, how did that go?
So the governor came. He spoke to the community. He toured around the community. He said, in fact, that the bridge should be the place around the bridge should be a beautiful place, just like if you were looking at the Mackinac Island Bridge and it was an eye shot. And we couldn't agree more. He talked about the children in the community and talked about the need for jobs. What happened last June 15th was the signing of the U.S.-Canada agreement between both countries. And in that agreement, there's opening language that says that there will be community benefits as part of the request for proposals or the bidding process. So the developers who will be vying to build this bridge will have to address community benefits. Where we still need to make progress is the specifics are not there.
So you're getting an open-minded, sympathetic reception, as you outlined from the governor, but you want to see it on paper.
There needs to be guarantees, yes.
So what would that look like? What do you want to see?
The community has, from the beginning, wanted to be sure that there weren't going to be increased air quality impacts in the community, but there were actual programs, investments made to address diesel pollution. This has been done in different ways in different places. We point to a very successful program at the Los Angeles Long Beach ports, where they developed, with a private port owner, they developed a program to reduce diesel emissions through filters on trucks. And so they were successful. After just a couple of years, they set out to do it in 5. They completed it in under 3 years, and they've reduced diesel emissions 80%.
So that would be something mandated the trucks would have to have, although the Long Beach is not international.
Exactly.
So you've got the international component.
Exactly. So we know that there are differences, but there are also tremendous opportunities. And these things, when we clean up the environment, we also improve the economy. We improve daily quality of life. We improve household incomes, because parents don't have to take time off work because either they or their children have asthma. It's a number one reason for missed school days and the number one reason for lost work time in our community.
What's being done by your counterparts on the Ontario side? Are you working in unison? Where are they compared to where you're at?
Well, the Canadians are much further ahead in implementing the project on the Canadian side. And also, they had a very different process where, in the beginning, the community on that side in Windsor also said no to the initial proposals. And they were successful in moving the highway further away from the concentration of residents, which in their minds was actually helping to improve quality of life and health through less exposure to diesel emissions. And so they also have plans to tunnel part of the expressway, the connection, because the one reason why industry really likes this project is that it's going to provide a direct connection highway to highway from the U.S. to the Canadian side and eliminate all the traffic lights that have been a source of congestion and delays.
Anyone who's gone on Highway 2B knows that very, very well. Yes,
exactly.
Coming from Canada to the U.S.
So they've planned various green infrastructure and tunneling of the freeway on their side. And we'd like to see those kinds of things. We're a community on the river with no connection to the riverfront in southwest Detroit. And southwest Detroit itself is one of the most growing communities within Detroit, has been a lot due to the immigration that we've had and the success of the immigrant businesses in our community. And we really want to see a connection to, for example, Fort Wayne, beautiful historic Fort Wayne. Mm-hmm. And we believe it's possible. And we would love to see it done on our side the way it's being done on the Canadian side.
Is there a fear that's been expressed by people in Delray because it's so heavily immigrant that their concerns will be somehow overlooked or diminished?
I would say all along that's not only been the fear, but it's been the reality. There have been policies, we call it unwritten policies, in place to actually provide less services to the community. There was a time when it was more connected directly to downtown, and that connection provided access to various services. Now Delray is more like an island and due to be even further cut off because four interchanges or four places that you can overpasses that you can cross over the freeway are going to be cut off in this project. So there's almost nothing. People can't get to a store. 40% don't drive in Delray. It's a very poor community. And when you're poor, you don't have as much voice. And so that is most definitely a concern. And in fact, when you look at the 160-acre footprint of this project and you look at the price of land, 70% of the land is available, vacant land that the city owns. You couldn't put that footprint up or downriver in another community at the price tag that they're going to build this bridge. And we say, don't do it on the backs of the poor community. Make it be a win-win project. And it can be.
Simone Segovac, what would it look like if indeed you get the community benefits language on paper, it becomes part of the agreement, the bridge is built, so roll ahead a few years, and it is a win-win situation in your hopes for Delray. What would that area look like? What would Delray look like?
The community would have more access to services. We would have a home improvement project so that those who've been suffering from decades of the industrial exposure and now more exposure will have the improvements to their quality of life, green space, some buffering between where the bridge and the industry is, some connections from the recreation center where children, the only recreation center we have, connections from the recreation center to the riverfront. And we would have access to jobs for the residents in the community. We're very serious about providing information and training opportunities for people so that those, again, who will be most impacted by the project could have the opportunity for economic improvement for their families.
As the project begins to get momentum. Certainly the presidential approval was very important. Would you say that the mood in Del Rey is predominantly one of anticipation or dread or both?
I think that we've recognized all along that people have very different feelings about this project. They always have. And we're asking a lot of people. And so when I say that we, I mean the decision makers actually on the project are asking a lot of the people in the community and what they will have to give up. And you can't look at it with a judgmental eye as, well, you know, they should be glad to get, you know, to leave the area, because home is home. And for people in the community, it's not just the dwelling that they live in. It's the relationships of their aunt across the street or their good friend next door who have supported the social fabric, the social network of this community, and especially the elderly residents. And there are many of them in the community. And so there have always been people who did not want the project, and then people who said, yeah, this is an opportunity. Maybe I can better myself and leave the area and do better for my children. So I would say now with the decision, the one thing is that we've wanted an end to the delays, because the delays themselves in a bridge decision have brought further harm upon the community. So there's some sense of relief in knowing something, and now there's still the anticipation and concern for it to be done right.
So the idea of stalemate, nobody's moving ahead when there's stalemate.
Exactly.
Simone Segovec is with the Southwest Detroit Community Benefits Coalition. I am certain that as this story unfolds and we move toward that second bridge, that we will be talking again, I have no doubt. Simone, thank you so much for talking with us today on Stateside.
Thank you so much for letting us be on.
And we would like to hear from you. What do you think of today's interviews? Who would you like us to profile? Stories we should tell? You can find us online at michiganradio.org. You can go to Facebook, and all you have to do is search for Stateside with Cynthia Canty. And we're on Twitter at Stateside Radio. So reach out.